Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show.
Hi everybody, this is your show host Barbara Hofmeister and I'm really happy to have you all here today. We have a very special guest and she is going to talk about a subject that is very close to my heart, as a lot of you know, and that is domestic violence. That's something that we have to talk about, not something that we have to suffer through. We actually have to bring it out into the world and help each other, support each other, because it's not just happening to one person. I have had the experience, our guest for today has had the experience, and I know of hundreds of people, not only women, men also, but mainly women, that had to go through that. So if you are one of them, this is the show for you today. Call in if you want to speak to Harriet directly or to me, or send us a message and just listen in, because we've both overcome that and you can too. So I want to welcome Harriet Kamak. Harriet, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So lovely to have you on the show, especially with a topic that is so dear to my heart. So welcome to the To Be show today.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for your kindness in extending us this invitation to join your audience.
Well, I know that we have had similar experiences, even so under very different circumstances, and I would like to share a little bit of that in an introduction, but obviously you can do that much better than I can. So I will just share that you were born in Jamaica and that your journey has been marked by strong faith in the belief that you can overcome anything if you try hard enough. And you actually say it doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you finish. And that I can agree with 100% and wholeheartedly. So do you want to tell our listeners a little bit of your past, of your story, how you came to become who you are today?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I want to say a special thank you to your audience and to your listeners all over the world. I appreciate your efforts into the world community in bringing the message of enlightenment. And I like the way your show is titled, To Be or Not to Be, the choice is yours. And as we gather today to talk about my own experiences in surviving domestic violence, if the case exists that you, being a part of the audience, have experienced any kind of adversity, the choice really is yours whether to be or not to be. In my own experience, I found that to be true as I married someone whom I thought I loved. You know how we fall in love with rose-tinted glasses. And I was born in Jamaica, and I journeyed from Jamaica to Florida. And as we journeyed, the escalation in violence began. At first, it was, simple. It was emotional. And the usual control mechanisms, you know, controlling whom you talk to, the alienation and isolation. But it especially escalated when we moved to the States. And from the perspective that my family lived in Detroit, my mom and my sisters were in Detroit, and I lived in Florida, I was certainly alienated and isolated from any community of friends or any kind of support in the community who could have helped me to run away or to walk away. And so because we had a daughter, the laws kind of dictated how custody arrangements are set. So you can't run away with the child to another state. You could, in effect, be kidnapping your own child. So I had to sort of tough it out in order for the courts to, administer justice so that I could walk away with her, hopefully with my life intact, so that I could at least have her and not leave her in it. Because I know the situation. I knew eventually that he would have abused her as much as he abused me, and she would have been emotionally destroyed. And I felt that she needed a chance at life because she had had nothing to do with it. We're talking about surviving domestic violence, and to the women in the audience who have gone through it, I apologize to you, but there's one thing I want you to take away from this today, and that is you must speak up. Help is available. You don't have to sit in the place that you're in. You don't have to be there. You don't have to put up with someone abusing you mentally or calling you names or telling you that you're no good. You don't have to sit there and let someone else beat you up and tell you that you have no other choice, you have no other way out. That is absolutely not true. There's a worldwide community of resources available on the Internet, and most resources that you would go to would tell you how to exit the browser. Here in the United States, you can go to the hotline.org, and you can also, if you're listening to us in Germany, you can go to Barbara's own website, where she has a plethora of tools and resources designed with you in mind. And so we admonish you and encourage you that whatever the adversity that you're going through, there is help available. You just need to speak up. Right, Barbara?
Yes, absolutely agree with that. You need to speak up. You need to also stand up for yourself, but sometimes that can be really difficult because you feel so stuck in a situation. You think that there is no help, and you believe sometimes that you are the only one that this is happening to, and you can't talk about that. I mean, I've experienced domestic violence in my childhood very heavily, and it was totally unpredictable. I never knew when it would happen. So you could not prepare, you know, it just happened from one minute to the next, and suddenly you were beaten up and you didn't know when it would stop. And next moment you were loved and hugged and kissed, and it was a constant up and down. And I thought that was, you know, that was the way it was.
Until you learn to get out of it. And what you're saying describes the experiences that many women face. It's very, when I say speak up, don't misunderstand me that speaking up is speaking up to the abuser. It's speaking up to people in the community whom you have identified who are safe, people who will not go back and tell your spouse that you're trying to find a way out. And you can identify those persons by the persons who ask, are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help? Anybody who asks if there's anything I can do to help, if there's someone whom you know of and whom you trust, then certainly ask them, tell them, ask them for help. Tell them I'm in a very bad situation. I'm trying to get out of it. My life is in danger. My life is at stake. My children's lives are at stake. If you could help us to please get out of this situation, that's fine. Never attempt in a violent and abusive situation, such as one that exists in a spousal situation in the home, to try to speak up to your spouse. That just seems to anger him more. And in fact, it could lead to severe retaliation to you, directed at you and your children. But speaking up here is identifying those persons within the community who have access to resources that you might not have access to. Because the abuser in the situation typically wants to prevent you from accessing any kind of help. So identifying persons who, perhaps if you go to work, there's someone, you know, who is always looking out for you, maybe them, or maybe someone in your church group, maybe someone in the community, if you're a part of a particular grouping of people, whether, you know, you're grouped according to your ethnicity or some kind of social club. Identify someone within those parameters around you who can help you to find a way out.
Yeah, this is what we mean by speaking up. Don't speak up to the person who is abusing you, because they might even abuse you further or stronger than they did before, because they get more upset and more angry. And In many cases, these people have a lot of fears. They are very insecure. And if it's a man, normally it is their way out. Screaming and hitting, for many of them, it is their way out, you know, to let go of their fears. This is what they feel when they feel in power. But it's for me now today that I know so much about how we tick. It actually means in most cases that they are very insecure human beings. And they can't cope with life themselves, so they put you down so that, you know, they feel stronger than they are in reality.
Absolutely, and that is such a key component of what describes the profile. You're describing the attributes of the profile of an abuser, someone who they themselves are unable to extend love to themselves, and they themselves have questionable centers of power. Each of us has within us a certain sense of identity that identifies who we are and what we're capable of doing in our own lives. And oftentimes, in my own experience in particular, I found that my ex-husband had learned violence as a means of control to exert on the women around him. You know, it's how he had learned to relate to the women in his social grouping, the women in his immediate family. And because there had been a certain set of insecurities within him, when he met me, he determined that the only way that he could feel comfortably in control of me was to control me by alienating and isolating, emotional abuse and verbal abuse, followed by intense physical violence. In my book, Through the Fire, which, by the way, is available worldwide on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, it describes in detail the intense physical violence that I endured. I remember, Barbara, when the marriage finally collapsed on that fateful evening in October 2000, 10 years ago, what happened was he dragged me across the floor by my hair because I refused to sit in the family room to watch TV with him. I mean, there were like 5 TVs in the house. I just chose not to watch the TV he was watching. I mean, what was the big deal? And because I didn't comply with his issues, because he felt that he was in supreme control of my life, so I did not have any choice, and this is how most women feel, that they don't have any choice in the issues and circumstances around them. He has to make the choice for you because you're not capable. I mean, they tell women, they tell you, you're nobody, you're not intelligent, you're an idiot, you're a fool, you can't think for yourself, nobody's interested in your opinion, you don't have an opinion. Those are the kinds of things they tell you, designed to demean you and beat you down and tear you apart. And so because they have this mindset about you, they feel that you need to be controlled. So someone now has to make make decisions on your behalf. So he dragged me across the floor because I refused to sit and watch TV with him. And that was when I said, I have had enough. And I called 911 for the first time. I called 911, and the police came and removed him from the home. And that was how I got my deliverance out of that situation. And so the message is, I'm sorry, you were saying?
No, I wasn't saying anything. Just continue, because I wanted to ask you what was your experience after that? How did you feel, and how did it continue? I mean,
and then, so now I'm removed from the physical violence. So now he's removed from the home. And this is what a lot of women experience. Here in my community in Oakland County, Michigan, I am part of a speakers bureau, and part of the survivors group is that a lot of women I have found are afraid to come forward and talk about their experiences because the abuser is still living in the area. So he's no longer living in the home, so it's not physical anymore, but it's an emotional control where they had told you before, if you ever tell anybody or if you ever talk about me, I'm going to kill you. And so even though you have a personal restraining order is what we describe it as here in the States. In Germany, it might be described as something else, but in essence, the judge has distributed that they cannot come near you within a certain feet of you, otherwise they'll go back to jail. That's essentially what it means. What happens is they don't care. It implies to the woman who is abused that I'm oblivious to the law, I'm above the law cannot control me, but I'm in control of you. And so what happened, I experienced that, because right after he had been removed from the home, he was jailed for a few days, and I believe they deliberately kept him there so that I could organize myself. Well, the minute he was released from jail, he went to court, and he was asked by the judge, he was told by the judge, do not come within 500 feet of the home. Well, what do you know? He went around the other side, back behind the house where we live. He went on the other street, walked through the neighbor's backyard, and there I am standing in my bathroom. I guess we're standing outside the window. Him? I was so scared, I started screaming. The neighbors called the police. So the sheriff showed up. By the time they showed up, he had left. And this continued on and on and on and on until finally it was about the fifth time that I went back to court, and the judge said, if you really go near her this time, I'm surely going to throw you in jail and lock you up. But look at how many times it took for him to be locked up. He could have killed me in the process. If I hadn't changed the lock, if I didn't lock the garage door each time I drove out, if the neighbors had not been vigilant enough to see him coasting up and down the street, he could have killed me. And then what would have happened? He could have. You know, so the point I'm making is there's so many women who afterwards go through this domination exercise where the only way they seem to think they can get out of it is to physically remove. Then when that was over, after he had been threatened by the judge, now it was time to control me through the court. So now I am going through an acrimonious and hostile divorce in which I am described by every name under the sun. It is all designed to tear you down, to demean you, and to put you in a place where you can never be anybody you can never overcome. After that, we are now separated. It took 2 years for him to agree to a divorce. It was crazy. After we had gone through all of that, now we're separated. Now I live in one house, he lives in another house. I live in one state, he lives in another state. Do you know, Barbara, that every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock he would call? Do you know what he was doing? As far as I was concerned, he was extending the control mechanism, because now he no longer has physical control, right? So he no longer can control you. So now he's controlling you by disturbing your peace on a Saturday morning. And so many women, we have to learn how to recognize these signs. There are even still signs of financial abuse. They refuse to pay child support. They refuse to pay alimony. All these are designed to bring you down and to bring you to a place where you are, again, rendered helpless under his vicious attack. And I'm saying to you that one of the first things you need to do, once you have found you have gotten out of the situation, empower yourself. Go and get a job. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are and how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter how educated or how qualified you are. It doesn't matter that you were Mr. So-and-so and you were Dr. So-and-so's wife or you were Professor So-and-so's wife. All of that doesn't matter. The minute that you get out of it, it doesn't matter who he is. He could be a pillar of the community. My husband certainly thought so. And it doesn't matter who they are. If they're an abusive man, they fit the same profile. They're going to do the same things against you, and you now have to learn to empower yourself. Go back out there, get a job, empower yourself financially so you will never again be caught in the same situation. And when he throws one stone at you, you turn around and go back to court, get a lawyer, go back to court, and throw the same stone back at him. I'm not preaching revenge. What I'm saying to you, for your own peace of mind, you have to be able to stand in the face of the vicious attack that will come against you. You have to be empowered. And if you're a man listening to this and you have a sister or your ex, your wife or your friend or your niece or your mother or your aunt or your cousin is going through this, these are the things you need to support her with. Support her. Don't just leave her standing there because she's fighting this attack all by herself. She needs your help. Support her. Go with her to court. I have found in my situation, my father wasn't there, my brothers weren't there, and what happened to me was my husband took advantage of that because I had no male help around me. And I used to tell him that if my brother knew what you were doing, it would be over for you, buddy. You would simply not just be here. And sometimes
We don't want to do the same thing, you know, if they attack us, we don't want to attack back. I mean,
it's not about attacking, Barbara. It's not about meeting violence with violence. What it is, if you can't have someone who provides you with emotional support, because there are days when going to court can be quite intimidating. In my own experience, my therapist went with me every day, and my ex-husband was 6 feet tall, and I'm like 5 feet four, and he was physically intimidating. Now, coupled with the fact that this was someone who emotionally and physically beat me up, and here I am in court, and the vicious attack is continuing, it became so bad that my attorney had to ask the court to provide me with some kind of relief that would accommodate my therapist accompanying me to court. I was just totally, totally emotionally a wreck. I couldn't, when I had to go to court, my stomach would cramp. I would be fearful. And, you know, people would say, what is wrong? And I'm like, it's like I'm going through it all over again. These are the signs. This is why I say that it's important for the woman who is going through this to have some kind of support, whether the support comes from her brother, her uncle, or whoever. The fact that he's male just simply means that here I am, dude. You're simply not going to run over my sister like this. You're not going to get away with this, so you need to back off. I mean, I was at court, and I was standing on the steps of the court, and my ex-husband was still coming at me. He was still spewing violent rhetoric. And I remember my attorney telling his attorney, if you don't control your client, I am going to make sure that he's thrown back in jail because this vicious attack cannot continue. And my attorney was, you know, she and I were the same height, the same build, and so on. The point I'm making is that the person who pretends to be violent, if violence is what they define themselves as, they feel that it is a method of control, not just against the woman whom they are involved with, but against everyone else in the community around them, and mm-hmm. they will continue to use violence as a
okay,
tool.
Okay, but we, Harriet, we can't change the other person. We can't change the person that is violent. I mean, that's their problem. But how can we empower ourselves, apart from looking for a job so that we become financially independent of that person? How do you suggest that women empower themselves to actually move forward in life, not focus on what has happened? That's the past. We can't change it anymore. That has happened, and there is help. People can get help, and they should get help, and I'm all for it 100% to get out of an abusive relationship as soon as possible, as soon as you notice that it's abusive, that it's hurting you, whether physically or verbally, emotionally, get out. Get out. And sometimes when you get out early enough and can create that space between you and that other person, it can even heal, you know, and it can help the other person understand. Of course, when it gets to a stage where they physically abuse you and really hurt you and threaten you with death and all kinds of things, that is past that, you know. That is when you really need to separate, when you really need to get help, whether it's the police, counseling, therapy, or what have you, and definitely some family members and close friends that you can call day and night whenever you feel that you need to talk to somebody. But how do you suggest, Harriet, that people actually, you know, women especially, they get out of this type of environment into something that is so much better, and that is their own life, where they are not controlled anymore?
Well, here's the thing. You know, we talked earlier about how to identify the signs of an abuser. We talked about how what makes people what they are. By definition, I am a survivor because I overcame the adversity because of what violence had done. And so because of that, I feel that one of the best ways to move forward, of course, outside of financial empowerment, is therapy. Therapy will do wonders for you. In fact, one of the first things I suggest is that you find a place where you can obtain therapeutic counseling. It helps you to identify those areas in you that perhaps we might need help with. It provides you with a bridge to get to your destination. And all that it does is help you to focus that it's not your fault, and that it helps you to remove the guilt off a failed situation, so you don't believe that it's my fault, I did this, or I brought this on myself.
Mm-hmm.
But therapy becomes a tool of empowerment when used correctly in helping you to recognize that the issues that came against you were not your fault. And it's very important that we never blame the victim. It's one thing to say that you come out of it and that's the past, but it's more important to say not only is it in the past, but the fact of the matter is that I have rid myself of the past, and we're now I'm moving forward. And the best way to move forward is therapy. It helps you. It sustains you, and it points you in the right direction, because you will find that you have the answers within you. And it helps to restore your sense of self. So all the lies that were told you, that you're no good, you're an idiot, you're stupid, you will find through therapy that those came from someone who was emotionally insecure. And now here I am. Here I am. I am ready to lead my life and to live my life out loud and live my life filled with purpose. And then once you have discovered that, it's an ongoing process, because after such a thing that you have endured, there's certainly a lot of residue. I had residue of commitment. I had residue of abandonment. I had issues. I had issues of rejection. And so therapy helps you to identify these issues, helps you to work through them on your way to becoming emotionally well. And then you are now able to say, okay, this is what I went through. This is where I am. Now that I know all of this, what do I do with it? For me, I turn this into self-help. So now I'm able to speak to other women and to encourage them and to empower them.
Harriet, we have a caller. And we have less than 3 minutes, so I will see if that caller has a quick question. 708, are you there? Area code 708. Hello? Hello? Well, it seems that they can't either hear me or they don't have a question, they're just listening that way. Harriet, I want to thank you so much, because this is a topic, as I said, that is dear to my heart, and that I want women to really speak up for themselves and speak up when something like that happens and get yourself out of a situation like that. You don't have to stay in there. You are not a tree, you know. You are not bound to the ground where you are. You can move at any time. You always have a choice, always. Might not seem like that in the moment, because you are so stuck in a problem, but you always have a choice. And come to people like me, for instance, or Harriet, and talk to us about it, you know, get help, because this, you know, you can change that in an instant, you really can. And later on, you have space and you have time to actually cope with everything that happened. But first of all, get yourself out of the situation. Well, we have to come to an end. Thank you very, very much, Harriet, for having been on the To Be show and for your work. Harriet?
Certainly. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Barbara.
Well, thank you. And next week, same time, same place, come back and listen to the show. And please be aware that there are still early bird tickets for the Festival of Enlightenment. Festivalofenlightenment.com. Go to the website and check out the amazing speakers that are going to be there. More than 50 speakers, 10 bands. We're going to have great fun. I mean, we're going to have music, we're going to have motivation, inspiration, and transformation. Just imagine spending a whole week with people like myself. I mean, with people that have been through adversity and have come out the other side stronger and better than ever. And you can do the same. Come and join us in Colorado in June for the Festival of Enlightenment. And take your kids, you know, make it a family outing, a family vacation. Imagine spending a whole week with like-minded people and thousands of like-minded people. So I invite you to come to the festival, get your early bird ticket, and I will do 6 workshops there, so make sure that you're going to be there. This is Barbara Hofmeister from BarbaraHofmeister.com with the To Be show. Wishing you an empowered, wonderful, great week. and see you next Tuesday.